Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM, ESPN. Happy Thursday to you. It's going to be the December 4th, 2025 edition of the show. We're coming at you live. Now simulcasting. I'm picking it up. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. You can see us now as well as listen to us. And we're grateful for every one of you that's watching or listening. My partner's John Martin. He's a star. He's my brother. Good luck finding a brother as good as him. I get to work with him every day. He's a true talent, and that talent continues to rise to a place we can only dream. Look forward to seeing what he's going to do in the next 20 to 30 years of his career. Brad Carson is already the boss. Give yourself a round of applause, Brad. When you reach boss status, you deserve it every day. He's also our executive producer.
I'd rather not be the boss.
I understand. We understand that a great deal of responsibility comes with being the boss. It's a heavy burden. You wear it proudly, and you wear it well. Ladies and gentlemen, I am but a humble servant.
Gas!
Who was pleased, just pleased, just I was like rock, when I saw that Penny Hardaway's team apparently covered last night against New Orleans. I was like rock cheering for Lil Rudy.
There you go.
Lil Rudy.
That's right.
Welcome.
Welcome to Smart Mart, where you can fill up for $2.35 a gallon with that good old 89 gas.
Jason is great, and he is here.
Good times. Yes. When you can fill up that cheap, John. Thank
you, Brad. TGBTG is all I will say about all of this. TG.
You know I love it. Get it right.
Can you do it?
TGBTG.
TGBTG. And what does that mean?
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
That gas is so low. John, we just talked about being grateful last night in Bible study. Look at you.
To God be the gas. To God be the gas. To gas be the God.
Cheap gas. I didn't realize it was that low, John.
It was.
So we appreciate that update.
Absolutely. The gas was low, but we are now full. And I did get the news yesterday from our president, Donald Trump, that we are going to be stripping away those EV moves. We're going to be going back to fuel. So that's perfect because we know you are a traditionalist when it comes to gasoline. You are not an EV guy. You are a gas guy.
93.
And
is that what the highest level is?
I believe it is, yes.
93.
Now, all you day. Give us that 89. It ain't 93 because 93 is
you're
like.
You're telling me mine's not top of the line?
It's a lot. It's
what
a lot.
What I give is not top of the line?
But
only 89?
Just 89 today.
Cool.
You know, let's go for 93 tomorrow. All right?
We'll do my best.
We're going to have the Kalshi update for you. It's not presented by Kalshi, but it is Kalshi with the University of Memphis football coaching search.
I look forward to it every day.
I think it's a good exercise, right? Like, it just kind of gives us an update to start the day.
Yes.
You know, where things are, how things are moving. And so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Like you said, Tigers played a game last night, won, covered, all is good. No Aaron Bradshaw last night, coach's decision, okay? No Curtis Givens last night, thigh injury. No Ashton Hardaway, I believe knee injury last night for him. So, doesn't matter. Shorthanded, injured, injured, suspended, bring me your wounded. Isn't there like a verse about that? You know, bring me your sick and your tired and
I should know it.
I'm sorry.
Not off the top of my head, not today.
I know Wednesday is Bible study.
Yeah.
Not Thursday.
No, 30 and 5, Psalm 30 and 5 was the study last night.
Okay, which was
so
that?
But you've got me looking up the other one.
God's anger is brief. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, about joy coming with the morning.
But
yes.
His favor lasts a lifetime, and while weeping may last for the night,
there it is.
Joy comes in the morning.
You saw that earlier in the week,
and we picked that verse because Ryan Silverfield got another job.
We didn't pick it because of that.
Yeah.
We picked it for folks that are down, know that there will be a brighter day, one that
That's right.
predicted to you last week that you didn't believe was coming.
Will there be a brighter day for Memphis basketball attendance?
So, yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to talk about it because I did some research this morning.
I'm sure.
And because I was just curious.
I'm aware.
I was just curious as to, you know, where that attendance last night, that announced attendance of 9,123, which we obviously know it was not 9,123. Where did it stack up historically under Penny Hardaway? I don't know if the results will surprise you, but I think they'll be illuminating. And so we'll do that as well on the show today. Big show today. Drew Hill going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk Grizzlies with him. They're off again today. They'll be back in action tomorrow against the Clippers. But seems like, you know, hey, they're currently ninth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been much worse. Feels like some things are getting, you know, stable with the Grizzlies. So we'll talk to him about that and more at 11:25. Then at 1:25, I believe we're going to be joined by Bennett Doyle. I believe that's going to happen.
Spoke with him by text last night. I hope so.
He took the entire week to come up with a statement about the departure of Ryan Silverfield via text. And I got to say, it was weak. It was a weak statement.
Dang.
To have taken a week. You know, we needed better. But he did have a statement, and so we'll talk to him about it at 1:25. So that is the show today. All right, let's pop over to Kaushi, shall we? What's the latest on Memphis football? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there is a market for this up at Kaushi, and we like to consult it every day, because the one fundamental truth is that someone always knows. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality. So as of right now, Jerry Mack is still your favorite. 42% favorite up at Kaushi right now. Charles Huff is at 17%. Dan Mullen is at 8%. And then you start getting into the guys that obviously like have no chance, like Neil Brown and Mike Norvell and Jason Candle and Tim Kramsey, etc. So
Helton's not on there at all?
Helton is not on there. And,
I was just curious.
Well, he is on there, but he has no
gotcha, just
percentage
curious.
Chance.
Okay.
And Jonah Dillon of the Commercial Appeal reported this morning that he is out.
Okay.
So Tyson Helton out of the search, which is why he doesn't have any odds here, but I think that's why.
Well, that's been applauded. We didn't like him. Is that the official statement from the boss?
Okay. I did not like that candidate. Okay. Did you all love him?
No, him or the Toledo coach.
No.
Yeah, the Toledo coach seems like it's just
Candle.
Not,
isn't it that we should speak of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure where that is coming from.
Okay.
No. But he has a 5. He's ascribed a 5% chance, but I have not seen his name at all. The other news that we got yesterday out of the state of Louisiana is that LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker interviewed for the job.
Mm-hmm.
He's also interviewed for the Tulane job. So it seems like he's in the mix for both of those gigs. I believe that Blake Baker is the favorite for Tulane. I will check on that. He is 77% chance up at Kaushi for him to be the next Tulane coach. Makes sense. Tulane is in the state of Louisiana, last I checked. So, you know, you hired the LSU defensive coordinator at Tulane. Makes perfect sense. So that's a little bit of movement there. Not a ton. Jerry Mack, as we know, has a football game to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I think that is why you're seeing a lack of movement here, really, on Memphis. I'm not sure that necessarily means that it's his job, but it does seem like it's got the search in a holding pattern until they talk to him.
Yeah. Feels like you're just waiting on Friday night and maybe by Monday you're doing something in terms of announcing this.
Exactly.
And the you know, the longer we go without an announcement, the more it looks like that's the plan. I'm you know, we've discussed Jerry Mack. We've discussed why we like him. You talked about the quarterback that hopefully he could bring over. That's all good. We like and you wrote you need a coach with players, right? So hopefully it's not just a quarterback. You're bringing a core with you. If that's the case, I will say it's going against what everybody else is doing. Yeah, you know, in terms of the high coordinator, and we started that when we came in here on Monday. Said, boy, feels like you could shoot for anything, save for a Will Stein that can go straight from, you know, the OC job as the hot guy to head coach. But I mean, look at what obviously Hartline at South Florida is the example. It feels like everybody else is kind of going that route too. So, and I'll just say it, I've got confidence in Mac, but you will be going a different direction, right? When you had the opportunity to sort of go find that hot person, and mm-hmm. obviously you did interview someone that's hot in LSU's defensive coordinator. Again, you know, we said you can do CFP, you can do who's hot, whatever else. It felt like with this opportunity that you have. And so my point in saying this and going a different direction is I think it puts a little bit more, I mean, there was already a huge amount. We've said it's the most important hire in Memphis athletics history. It puts a whole nother layer of it on it to me. Because you'll have a lot of folks, and we've already had them tweeting at us, John, that say you should be going that route, right? The hot OC or the hot DC as opposed to the head coach. We've kind of talked through our reasons
yep.
why we like the head coach. There's nothing that says either, John, that an OC, you know, hot OC, hot DC doesn't bring players with them as well. We've kind of said that gives the head coach an edge, we feel like, you know, that's but so might a coordinator have that possibility, have that capability.
Yep.
All that said, the longer this goes, the more it feels like it's Mac. And so,
no, I did hear from a separate national source today that Buster Faulkner, who I believe Gabe mentioned yesterday on his social media account, that Buster Faulkner is involved or could be involved in some way. How real and how you know. Is he a front runner? Is he? He's a Georgia Tech offensive coordinator and tight ends coach.
Yeah.
You know, again, sort of the same deal, right? Power five, power four offensive coordinator. You know, the type of guy that everybody wants Memphis to hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 44 years old. Heard his name again this morning driving in, but you know, again, it's. I'm not saying that the holding pattern means that Jerry Mack is getting the job. It just feels like we're not going to. Memphis is going to interview Jerry Mack before they make a decision. They have to. It seems like they're definitely waiting on that. So,
yeah. Buster's one of those guys that's one of those, you know, semifinalists, for the Broyles. I mean, he goes along those lines of the people that are, you know, getting the looks and the jobs.
Yep.
So, he would, again, that seems to be the direction of everyone. It's what South Florida, which is, if not your peer, the front runner in the American in terms of what they've done, the investment level they've got right there. Let's just hope.
Yep.
That Ed Scott gets it right either way, because you miss on this, boy, it's not just going to wear on you, your reputation as an athletic director, everything else. It's going to possibly, potentially, you know, Memphis could miss its window
mm-hmm.
when we talk about, you know, potential realignment and having to have this thing as hot as you can before those contracts end in 2030.
Realistically, because I'm just looking at Georgia Tech's offense, realistically, I think he could be a little bit of a hard sell because Georgia Tech averages fewer points than Memphis did this year. That being said, they played a much tougher schedule. They mm-hmm. played Georgia. They played, you know, real ACC teams. So, you know, I do think it could be a tough sell initially, but obviously when you take it into consideration, the schedule that they have to play, you know, the 33-point, you know, whatever, the 33.1 looks a lot better than Memphis' 34.6. Memphis would not be averaging 34.6 against the Georgia Tech schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's obviously every time I didn't watch a lot of Georgia Tech football, but you know, every time I turned it on, they were, you know, scoring a bunch of points behind Haynes King. So, you know, I don't think it's a horrible name whatsoever. They beat Clemson this year. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a horrible name. I think it's sort of the idea of that everybody wants the Power Four coordinator. So, again, does he bring players? I mean, that's
important.
You know, that's my thing. It's like, all right, you know, you could be the best coordinator in the world, but if you don't have players, it's going to take time, most likely.
Time we don't necessarily have.
Agreed.
I feel confident by second year, sure. You understand what Memphis has in terms of investment. You've sort of gotten it going. But you need that right off top. That's what we're saying
That's right.
terms of striking immediately.
Yep.
You know, I'll just say, I mean, like the Tulanes and the Boise States, they've been here for a while, just in terms of this is what they do. They stay at the top of the conference. They go through change, everything else. They stay. You're trying to get there. And so you cannot miss this opportunity to cash in. I mean, again, I'll continue to phrase it as a blessing at Ryan Silverfield getting that job now to get some juice up in there.
Exactly.
And turn some heads in a way with football in a newly renovated building you control. I mean, there's too much good going on to miss here.
Yes.
So much pressure on it's got at this point.
Yes.
Everybody else is getting theirs done. Longer it goes, again, feels yep. like Saturday announcement.
Yeah, that you know, Saturday or Sunday, right?
And you do, and then you
and then
do
my
a presser
press conference
on Monday.
Yeah, exactly right.
Otherwise, if you've talked to these coordinators, you know, you could have already hit. You could have already made the announcement and everything else right earlier in this week. That's why
unless you were factoring
in timing too much, but that just
unless you were like just hell bent on. All right, listen, we can't not give the guy an interview. But I still think you would hear. You know, if the search was moving along, right, like I think you would hear that. And I think Memphis kind of has to operate on some timeline. They can't just say, all right, well, we'll just let this go until whenever without doing any due diligence on people, you know. So I do think if it was Charles Huff, I personally think you would start hearing Charles Huff. He's interviewed for Memphis. He's involved in the search. If it was, you know, whoever, I think the fact that it's been very quiet, I think it – and no one's telling me this. But I'm just sort of using deductive reasoning that it just seems like it's Jerry Max to lose because we haven't heard anything other than that one report from the Louisiana guy about Blake Baker interviewing.
I just, with all due respect to what Max got going on, you have to have already talked to those guys to some degree. You cannot wait that long.
I agree with that.
Because then you know, what if you're, oh, man, now I just talked to him. Now I'm cloudy on the decision.
Right.
You know, you can't have. There has to be, and Jerry Mack has to under. Maybe I'm being naive here, but they will have already had to have. I know it hadn't been reported.
Right.
I don't think there's any point on a guy like me trying to dig in. Ed Scott's got that thing dug in right now. There's a reason so little has come out.
Right.
They do a good job of that. But my point be, you telling me you're waiting till Saturday to interview him. Now, I just feel like they've done that part of it already. John, maybe it's not face-to-face, you know what I mean,
right.
And in there for
right.
2 hours, you know, formal, all that stuff.
Right.
But you had to have already checked in on these guys because you cannot wait.
Right.
South Florida's already ahead of you. They're building the class.
Right.
Like, you can't allow right. that to keep happening and pushing interviews down. So I'm just saying my guess is that in some way or form, They have talked to those guys.
And what I'm saying is, like, none of those guys seem to have blown them away, which is why they're still waiting on Jerry Mack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because if somebody blew you away,
but
you
I don't
would
think,
just...
Yeah, waiting to interview Jerry Mack would be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My point would be they've talked to him. They're waiting on him to get done with his conference championship. I'm
right.
hoping
right.
and going to announce is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Maybe I'm all
no,
off.
I think either way, the interview is the last piece.
That would feel like late.
The question is just like, are you going into the interview not knowing?
I'm waiting if I know it's him. You know what I'm saying? I got to move. I might like Jerry Mack, but I got a position I got to get filled so I'm not falling behind. And so my whole point is I'm not waiting to interview him until after his conference championship unless I know he's the guy, John.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I've talked to him. You know, I don't know. Maybe again, I'm being naive, but the way this feels like it has to move, you are in a race right now with this early signing. And they've done a good job. Shout out to Reggie Howard, I believe, the interim over
yep.
there, in terms of trying to keep what they've got solved there. They've been able to sign some guys, keep some guys' commitments, and turn them into signings. That's great. But you're falling behind.
Right.
Let's be real. Heartline's already ahead of you. And, guys, we need to be ahead of them.
Right.
You know, so you can't put much on the back burner here.
No, you're right. Maybe it hasn't been face-to-face. Maybe they've done some, you know.
In some kind of way, bro.
You know.
I mean, yeah, that guy's got an agent. You know, they have to. He understands how this works. He's
right.
been in the NFL. He's been here.
Are you hiring somebody if you don't interview him face to face?
My only point. I'm bringing this up. I'm just saying. I'm not waiting unless I know it's him.
Well, that's
already.
What I'm saying.
I've talked to him and made my decision. Is my point.
That's what I feel like. I feel like they are waiting.
What it feels like.
They know it's him.
Right.
I mean, again, no one's telling me that. I'm continuing. Like I said, I've heard other names this morning, so I don't want to act like, oh, the search is 100% over, or body search and that. But, like, that's just what it feels like to me, like, just based on the fact that we haven't heard. I mean, we've known since Sunday that you know, the job is open, and we haven't really heard another serious name emerge in terms of, oh, this guy is like really involved in the search.
Listen, I'm just going to say it too, and I'll say, yeah, we put a lot on Ed Scott here, almost as if it's going to be all on him and there won't be heavy input from Hardgrave. There has to be.
Yep.
There has to be from Bill Hardgrave, from the president, because of how important this is. It goes above Ed. I mean, I think of Ed, and he's been a good gatekeeper so far, but it's just like a coach. He's going to move on just like Laird Veach did. You understand what I'm saying? This is bigger 100%. Than Ed and everything 100%. Else. And so even if, you know, Ed might have his guy, Hardgrave and your money folks are the ones here, because with all due respect, Ed's going to move on. Memphis is going to be here, and this athletics department has to be in a better place because of a better football program going forward. And that comes back to Hardgrave and, you know, those same folks that were ready to mount up and ride into the Big 12 with the big money offer. I mean, that's, in the end, they've got to have serious input on this. You leave it up to Ed Scott
mm-hmm.
by himself, you know, you what are you going to do? What are you gonna, you know, that's what I'm saying. There is no, well, those guys have got one guy and Ed's got one guy and you're going to go with it. So we've sort of framed this as it's all Ed. There's got to be heavy input as well from Hardgrave.
Yep.
I mean, we knew that about Rudd, right?
Right.
Hardgrave, maybe not as he is not nearly as outspoken about it
yep.
being involved, but he has to be just as involved here.
Oh, for sure.
Has to be.
For sure. But until I hear another name, like, you know how this stuff, like, and I mean other name in terms of, like, hitting social media involved. Like, I'll hear people that, you know, are maybe tangentially involved on text or whatever. But until it hits social media, like, oh, this guy or that, my default setting is just that it's going to be Jerry Mack.
Because it just continues to be the favorite. I don't think we have to, you know, nobody's saying, oh, dude. Somebody predicted it here.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to predict it on this. We're about to see. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the closer we get.
We're on day four now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know.
I would hope it's decided.
South Florida moved quicker, you know. I mean, they.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to be first to get the right guy, but I don't like falling behind.
Right. I guess Tulane's still trying to, but it seems like they have their coach in Baker. Seems like that's what I'm saying. Like, that's all out there about.
You're reporting that there's reporting that he's the pick.
Yeah, I mean he's the overwhelming favorite at 77%, right? Mm-hmm. Like and yeah, I mean it just makes sense because he, you know, is the LSU DC and new regime taking over there and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's an interesting search. We have not heard much about it other than you know Jonah Dillon reported today that Tyson Helton's not involved anymore.
Yeah, I just saw that.
And so
about an hour ago.
And I would say, like, on him, would I have been super excited about him?
I see Brad was already out.
You know, I would say probably not. I would not have been that excited about him because, you know, you kind of were going to run into the same situation with what he's done at CUSA or in CUSA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did finish top two, four of his 7 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw a couple more top two, several more than Ryan had.
Right, but he didn't win it as much maybe as you'd like.
Once?
I think he won it once.
Yeah, we went through him yesterday.
Yeah, so.
I had dismissed him in the way that y'all had, but it's done now.
Seems like it is done.
The reporting on that.
Seems like it is done. But the Memphis search rolls on. This is officially day four. We're not going to count Sunday because that was just a day that you spent popping bottles. You weren't really making any calls.
Tell me again how good this quarterback is.
Amari
Odom. I need to hear it right now.
Well, I want you to do this.
What did you call him? What's his name?
Amari Odom.
Amari Odom.
I want you to do this. And again, you know, we're assuming no news, right? We're assuming there will be no news between now and tomorrow night.
I mean, if there's not.
Yeah.
Again, that tells me he's the guy.
I want you to watch the Kennesaw State at Jacksonville State game. It's the Conference USA Championship. Can you commit to that? Because
You already talked about it. 6 o'clock tomorrow.
What really you might be doing is scouting your future quarterback and your future coach.
Yeah, it's going to be important.
It's very important for you to get eyes on what's going on there. Kennesaw State, again, is a 2.5-point favorite. But I would implore you to...
Boy, you could watch for us, too. But no, I'm going to be watching because it feels like that's the guy.
You're the Memphis football man. You're basically...
You sold me on this quarterback. If this comes and burns, I'm going to blame you and Ed.
How about... I was actually doing more research on him yesterday.
Yeah, you said he's... What is he, 6'4"?
He's actually 6'11 with a 3.940.
No, that's Musa.
That It is Moosa with a 64% three-point percentage, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's in the league.
Well, that's why the coach that told me he's in the G League. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good. He moved up
there. This is what you should know about Amari Odom, okay? I actually found this stat yesterday. He's one of only three FBS quarterbacks this season to record 350 passing yards, five passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and amass himself more than 400 yards of offense in a single game. He's one of three. You know who he joins?
Mm-hmm.
Diego Pavia. Diego Pavia is one of the other three.
I like that.
So that man is 400 yards of offense by him. Well, he's not by himself because he needed a receiver to
we get it.
You know, but he's one of only three to do that. Account for six touchdowns in a single game.
Are we on some award lists?
Are we
the conference player of the year?
I don't believe on awards lists. I don't know what awards list, you know, there are to be on.
Well, now that I think about it, you're right. Maybe I didn't phrase that correctly. We should be the front runner for a conference player of the year. Based on what you're telling me.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that because he's been hurt. Remember,
we don't have him. Wait, is he hurt or not for tomorrow?
He's not hurt tomorrow.
Okay,
but
praise God.
He has been hurt throughout the year.
Frankly, right? This is going to be the test for me. I'm kind of on this sort of one-game test thing we used to laugh at.
Odom was named to Manning Star of the Week.
There it is. We got some awards.
Yeah.
Those are important.
So, look, I need you to not worry about Amari Odom.
Well, I'm not worrying about him. I'm looking at that as a great perk of hiring Jerry Mack.
Yes.
Because if you get the quarterback right, that's going to obviously help you get the coach right, and we're off.
Yep.
Did I see that we've lost Arrington Maiden?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Arrington Maiden's in the portal.
But he said in his statement, like, he wants to talk to this coach.
He did say that. He did say
that. You said that with a lot of hope in your eyes.
No, I think you have to enter it as a negotiator.
Well, you do. You have to enter it.
Yes, you have to do it.
Well, don't y'all think there's an offer on the table for him to come be a two or a three at Arkansas from Silverfield or no? And he's waiting to see if you'll go, you know. Mess with that.
I don't know
if it's worth it. You know?
Well, I think he may just be like. I think you have to just enter the portal because he may go somewhere else. Right? There's a deadline.
Get that money.
I thought with his toughness, you know.
Yeah.
He'd be a guy that maybe Silverfield would take with him as a backup guy. You know what I'm saying?
Another school.
I mean,
right?
Silverfield may wipe the slate clean and not take any QBs, but
yeah.
Because I figured maybe AJ's going somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Silverfield gets to Arkansas. He can't wait to do media. I mean, it's like he just.
Well, that's how he starts.
How he starts. You're exactly right. He came in here. We'll never forget. He was giving like gear and.
Yeah, every single appearance or show or whatever else.
Texting you about the Bears.
Will, yeah.
Then the game start, unfortunately. I don't know if that's exclusive to Silverfield, by the way.
It's every single young coach. We've talked about this. It's worth exploring and not just dismissing them as somebody who can't. It happens with young coaches. Hopefully, it'll be better. He's going to have to. We've said it in the SEC.
Right.
He's going to have to develop a thicker skin.
It didn't really happen with Norvell because Norvell was always pretty much awesome and he left for Florida State. Yeah. So it wasn't like.
I just feel like he understood it too.
Yeah.
They got a job. I got a job. I'll play the game and I'll get these dubs and they're going
to
love me.
Mike was the easiest person to work with in the entire world.
Much easier when you're making three straight conference championships, you know. We'll love you. Even if you're doing fewer interviews, you win at the highest level. We're all, you know. But what happens is they don't. Then they start trying to control the narrative.
Exactly.
And you get to spy. Okay, here I'm gonna pick my spots.
Exactly.
Anyway,
right.
It's just human nature.
Yep. Yep.
It's fine. Wish him the best.
Jason says he's gonna miss Arrington Maiden, and he will.
I'm gonna miss his toughness and what he did for us against Arkansas, putting that game away.
Jason also says, do not text him from 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. He will be busy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Like, you act like you're not going to watch.
Oh, I'm going to watch.
You want four eyes on
it. But it's not me that, you know, I'm all in on Amari and Mac in terms of that pair.
Yeah, just with everybody else, it is. Sometimes it's hard to go down that less beaten path. And, yes, we talk weekly about it. Sometimes you have to.
Well, unfortunately, by the time we come in here on Monday, your critique may be obsolete because a decision could have been made by the time we get back on Monday. But. Who knows? I still implore you to watch because what if he wins the CUSA championship and then just parlays it into the Memphis job? I mean, that's real momentum.
What I know is that we cannot be waiting to decide. If you are waiting,
that's what I'm saying.
Made the decision.
I think they have
you
an
have
idea.
Talked to him.
I think they have an idea.
You know,
I could be wrong.
No need for interviews after the game because there's going to be an announcement after the game.
You're flying him to Memphis after the game.
That's what you've given him as a chance not to. Hey, we're going to keep this so quiet it won't be a distraction to you and your team this week.
Yep.
But you have to have already decided. We can't be in a spot of indecision this weekend.
Right.
When Hartline got a 3-4-5, and this stuff matters. He's got 3-4-5.
Right.
Not to mention he's got Florida.
That's right.
You know, that's pretty damn attractive. And all their money, $8 to $10 million on the roster last year.
Yeah.
Let's get going. This is urgent.
Well, I'm just
saying.
And
so that's what I'm saying. It feels like.
In terms of candidacy.
It must be him.
I think Jerry Mack is better than Charles Huff because he is bringing Lamari Odom. And Charles Huff is not bringing a quarterback. I mean, I think that's
the part for me that is the tipping point.
Yes. Yes.
That's why I'm willing to go this route as opposed to, the route that everybody's doing. And frankly, you have the potential to do too. You could have got any one of these hot OCs, whatever else. But that because you've got me sold on this quarterback, John, and that's putting a lot of pressure on you. It really is.
Yeah.
It's from this side.
Well, and if he doesn't bring the quarterback, then it's a different discussion. But I don't know why he wouldn't come with him.
Well, the money's going to be better for him.
Exactly. Yeah,
you've been good to me. Now we're going up. We're both leveling up. That just makes too much sense.
Exactly.
That's how you do it.
Yes. 100% agree. So, anyway, we'll stay on top of it. We'll keep you apprised if anything changes. But no real change to speak of entering Thursday morning over at Kelsey. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill's going to join us. We'll talk Grizzlies with him, get his thoughts on all that, what's going on with the Grizz, trying to stabilize this thing. He's on the other side. J&J, 92.5 ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, a new doting father. And Drew, before we get started, I just want to make the statement that if the chips are down, and I need somebody in the trenches, and I need a win, I'm rolling with LeBaron Filon.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome, isn't he?
He is really free. I was like, man, that dude is a. It's amazing that that Alabama got him back this year.
They got him back though, as the clock struck midnight too. Like, that was the crazy thing about him, and I don't know where they would be if they didn't have him, honestly, at this point. So yeah, Alabama's a good team because their guards are good. But when their guards aren't playing well, then, you know, they're susceptible. But I think that for the most part, that's a team that's dangerous in March if they've got it rolling at the right time, and I feel good about Tide Hoops, man. I got a lot to feel good about in the sports world, and the Grizzlies have won 3 out of 4, so, man, it's been a fun couple of weeks. It's been a fun couple of weeks for sure.
That it has. Before we get to Grizzlies, I know you obviously, cover everything in the Memphis sports scene. Memphis football needs a coach. People have called this the most important hire in the history of Memphis athletics. Just what are your thoughts on the implications and how important this football hire is for the Tigers?
Obviously, it's important. And it's important for a number of reasons. It's important because of the landscape of college athletics right now. It's important because you've invested so much money into the program. It's also important just because, you know, you can't really afford to lose momentum with a program like this, and you've made so many good hires, it has felt like, in a row that has at least kept the team in the mix. Obviously, everyone wanted a different ending with Ryan Silverfield than what played out. But I wouldn't necessarily say in the moment that that was the wrong hire. So I feel like, you know, it's important to keep a string of success going here. And if we're being honest, Memphis is positioned in the American to be one of the top football programs, and it's time they win a conference championship. So, yeah, no, it's a very important hire. I don't want to repeat what everybody else has already said. Like, of course, football is a big moneymaker, and football is what gets you into power conferences for the most part, unless you did a basketball-only thing, which is more rare. So, you know, it feels very, very important. And I could probably repeat what everybody else has said, but I'll just add that, you know, momentum comes and goes in college football pretty quickly. And it's very important that they get this right and they get a coach that will win, given the fact that they are set up to win in the American.
Yep. With you on that, Drew, on its importance right now that it's got to hit this right. On to the Grizzlies, you mentioned it. You go 3-1 on the road trip, which you will take all day, especially with the way that you started November, 5 of 7 overall. And Ja Morant, you know, I think it was, I'm looking at it now, November 17th when we got the medical update from the Grizzlies about the grade 1 right calf strain and said it would be reevaluated in approximately 2 weeks. We're a little past that, I think. Drew, you know better on that calendar than I do. How soon do you think the Grizzlies, you know, Ja Morant might be rejoining the Grizzlies while we don't yet have the update, at least last I checked?
Yeah, I can't say for sure, you know, where things stand with that, to be honest. And I'll just be honest with you guys, like I was last week. I'm like halfway in the mix right now. I'm actually going to my first practice since the baby right now. So I'm excited about that, to get back there and get around some of the Grizzlies folks. But I do think we are going to get an update very soon. And I know that may not be news given when they announced the timeline, but I honestly was sort of expecting that it would probably come yesterday, because that's when you would figure the evaluation is happening, but we still don't have it. So I don't know exactly what the update will be. Obviously, everyone hopes that it was positive, that it'll be positive. It didn't seem at the time that it was as serious, you know, as like a Ty Jerome type thing, but they're really careful. They're going to be really careful. The thing about this Grizzly season, and as I think about Ja in the context of this injury, something that we recorded a podcast yesterday. I don't know if it's out yet or not, but Chris and I sort of discussed this a little bit. It seems like the Ja stuff is, it's important to keep into context that this Grizzly season all was about that evaluation, and we talked about that plenty. But, like, that is not dead, right? Like, we talk about it like it's never going to happen, like they're never going to get the pieces together. That, they may not. That, it may not ever happen. But it still is strong possibility that that could happen, and I want to see Ja at full strength next to Edie. I want to see Ty Jerome at full strength next to Ja. Like, I want to see these guys at their peak so we can assess where this team is by the end of the season. So, to me, I'm less worried about getting them back right now. Like, I want 100% Ja, or as close to it as we can get. So if that requires a little bit more time, this is one of those situations where I'm okay with it. Like, at its best, you know, this team is competing for the play-in tournament, right? It really seems like that's the case. That's not going to change whether he comes back this week or next week or the week after that. Like, you know, I'm actually in the favor of caution on this one, I think, rather than, you know, trying to force it because you've won some games and you feel some momentum. Like, you know, this season is the goal is to get this team playing its best basketball by the end of the season, so that maybe by the time you get to the play-in tournament, you're a little bit more dangerous than your seats suggest. So, you know, that's sort of where I think, as I try to logically sort of piece this out, I come down. It's like, this is one I think you take your time, given the current state of the team on draw.
The Grizzlies are 5-1 to be Chris Paul's next team. To your point about being patient, is that something that you'd be interested in?
No, probably not. No, because I think that while having veteran leadership is good, and it's, you know, something that they definitely welcome, I also think that Chris Paul has sort of, especially late in his career, proved to be a little bit of a pain. And I don't want to throw anything into the into a mix that seems like it's already been a little volatile this year. So I think I'll pass on that. I think I'm all set on that.
Jaren has, as you know, he's basically, you know, been what he was before Ja got hurt. But his blocking percentages has gone way down, have gone way down. His three-point percentage has gone way down. He's shooting 24% from three since Ja got hurt. Obviously, we know he's gotten cooked by Harrison Barnes. What would you attribute – because I think the offense is the offense, and that's what he is. But what would you attribute his defensive decline to? Is this just a blip? Is it just noise in his career? Or is something different about him fundamentally defensively?
That's a really good question. To your point on Harrison Barnes, you know, I have my two-week-old daughter at home. And I've been teaching her all about the NBA. I've been telling her all about Zach Edey. I'm telling her, you know, Ja's going to come back. Eventually, you'll get to see Ja. He's really good and exciting. But she's like, Dad, she said to me, you know what she said to me? She said, Dad, I don't know if I can be a Grizzlies fan. I want to just be a fan of Harrison Barnes. And I can't blame her because
he's the best player in the NBA since she was born.
She only knows Harrison Barnes as an MVP candidate, you know? That's what she knows. So, but no, Jaren, I think with him, it is concerning that all those numbers are going down. Like, I don't want to say that that's not concerning. It's very concerning because that was sort of where, you know, you didn't think that there would be any regression. Three-point shooting comes and goes. It'll go up. He's not going to shoot 24% for the rest of the season from three. But the defense is something that you should have on a nightly basis. And it just hasn't been there. And, you know, I thought that Zach Edey coming back was going to really help that. But the truth is, like, Zach Edey has been the defensive difference maker for this team. It has not been Jaren since he came back. And Vince, right? You put Cedric Howard in the starting lineup, that helps your defense. You put Vince Williams in the starting lineup, that helps your defense. You add Zach Edey, that helps your defense. Jaren, you know, you would think would benefit from all of that, but he hasn't. So to me, that's been a concern. Again, I think Jaren can play better than he's played. I think he's having a rough season. Sometimes it happens in stretches, so it's certainly possible that it is just a blip. But my level of concern has definitely gone up because, you know, and I wonder if it's – I don't think it's defensive system. Like, I don't think that is why. I think he should be having plenty of roaming opportunities. I wonder if teams have figured out how to attack Memphis and sort of stay away from him a little bit. Maybe that's part of the reason why the block percentage has come down. But you would hope that he'd be more impactful than he is right now. And so, yeah, no, I'm certainly concerned. And I don't believe it's some sort of structural problem. I just think he's not playing well at the moment, and he's got to be better than that.
Drew, we know you've had your hands full. I'm assuming though, because I saw Ja, you know, posted something on Instagram that looked like it was related to it, but that you've read that ESPN story where he, Trey, LaMelo are grouped in. You know, there's anonymity given into some front office execs, and they all weigh in on him and basically come to the conclusion that, you know, they all might have negative trade value. Although there are some in there that clearly are more positive than others. I'm curious about your thoughts on what was written about Ja and the way it was, you know, the way that it was a West executive that ended it that said, oh, he's going to be fine, but it'll have to be at the next place. Like the Grizzlies are backed up. What do you think of the piece and the grouping of those three?
Those are Bobby Marks and Tim McMahon are real reporters with real connections, so I'm sure those all of what was said was real, right? That those are real quotes from real executives. But I do think that you take some of the context out of it when those sources are anonymous in that way and some of that stuff is talked about. Like, you know, the last quote in particular, there's no context to it. Like, you know, he says they're going to have to trade Ja. They're going to be forced to trade Ja. But it's like, why? Like, there's no reasoning behind why that would be the case, right? Yeah. Or nothing that is explained in that way. I certainly think that it's, you know, go look at the numbers. Like, it's fair to wonder if Ja is declining, right? So, like, I don't really take issue with that. I think that there's time for him to prove that that's not the case. But I do think if you're wondering that right now, that's a fair thing to wonder. So I don't take exception to some of the stuff that's in there. But I do just think that, like, we're missing pieces to that, no? Like, it just feels like we're missing some pieces. Like, especially the quote at the end, which was really the strongest quote, which was like, you know, they're going to have to move on. Well, are they going to have to move on because Ja wants out? There doesn't seem to be the level of discontent let's just say this, the discontent that's been portrayed nationally doesn't seem to align with some of the stuff that I've heard, at least prior to maybe arriving, you know, a couple weeks ago. So I don't know if it would be that. So, you know, why? That's what I would ask as I read some of that stuff. Well, like, well, why? Why are they forced to trade him? Are they forced to trade him because they feel like, you know, he's not good enough anymore to be a championship-level star? That's okay. You can ask that question. But are they going to be forced to trade him because of other factors? Is it, you know, his discontent? Is it front office just being tired of all the stuff that surrounded him? Is it the injuries? Like, what is it? We never really got an explanation of that. So while I'm not discrediting what was written, I just think it's missing. There's stuff that's missing from that piece that doesn't really, you know, give insight into the situation.
Yep, and missing right at the top as well with the point where they make about how, you know, they did not engage in contract discussions with Ja, but eagerly, and I'm quoting the piece, eagerly committed to the deal with Jaren, leaving out the context that Jaren was up for it. Ja still got the three more years. You know, that's important context there. Making it sound like they've already made a decision when you've left out that the way you've written it, you've left out some important context there in terms of timing and those guys' deals. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly correct. And look, they weren't going to let Jaren go into the last year of his contract.
Right.
They're not going to let Ja go into the last year of his contract either. That's bad business, right? Because they're not going to risk letting him walk for nothing. So, yeah, that's a very important piece, and I should have pointed that out too. But yes, the fact that they said eager, I mean, yes, they were. Like, they did want to get that deal done. It was a big priority. They made trades to make that happen, remember? Like, they traded out Marcus Smart. That's why they did all that to get – so maybe, yeah, they were eager. Maybe eager is the right term to use there. But at the same time, like, it was because of the timing of the situation. And Ja, you know, like, whether it be at the end of this year or whether it be at the end of next year, like – They're not going to let him go into the last year of his contract. That's bad business, and so we haven't reached that point yet with him. They should have. That was something that I think could have been pointed out. But it is fair. I'll say this: it's fair to say if they were really committed, they could have given him a contract this summer. That's also true.
Yeah.
So
this is your first. This is your first foray out back into the world since having the kid.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the Collierville Christmas tree lighting with the kid. Okay. We did that. That's the one thing we've done. And then I've been at home pretty much since then. And I want to write, some things, or have some stuff on deck for when I do officially, like, sort of jump back in.
Right.
Fully. And so I've been doing the podcast. I've been coming on here with you guys, and I'm trying to get a couple things together. You know, and I enjoy, as you guys know, writing about things like outside of basketball, and becoming a dad myself has been really cool. Like, it's, but it's crazy because no one tells you that you're going to be such an emotional train wreck, you know, like, and that it's going to be, you know, it's so hard because you think, you're thinking about your old life and then your new life, and like you're balancing those two things out, and it's just like this wild roller coaster of emotions. And so, you know, sometimes I like to write about things that apply to me, and so I'm hoping maybe I might be able to talk to some of the Grizzlies who are dads and see what I can do with that, because, you know, I think for my own mental health, it'd be really nice to get some things down on paper and write. So I'm headed down here today. I'm going to start working on a couple feature stories. It's definitely nice to have some level of normal. And like, one thing I've learned, and you guys both know it, is that you find a way to make your kids fit into your life, right? Like, you know, I can't wait for the first day that I can take a game off and I can take my kid to go watch a Grizzlies game. We might be a couple years out from that, but like, I can't wait to introduce my life to my kid. And in order to do that, I have to get back to a little bit of normal. But it's been awesome, man. And so many people have like reached out and been so nice, and you know, it really speaks to the community here, and even people sending emails asking where I am, like, I even appreciate that. So that's been great, and I really appreciate it. So yeah, man, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been awesome.
We will continue to pray for you that it all continues to go well. I must say, I hope you are able to carve yourself out some time on Sunday at 3:25 for the 211th matchup between two storied franchises, the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers. I'll ask you this, Drew, as I get you out of here. What are you watching most? Because I know how you're feeling. I could ask you that. How you feeling? It's the same thing as me. You're tingling. What are you watching most? What are you looking for most in terms of this game, Drew?
I think that the Packers are going to load the box. I think that the Packers have one of the best defensive fronts in football. And I think ultimately this game comes down to whether or not Caleb Williams can be accurate enough and complete enough downfield passes to win the game. Like, I think a lot of it is going to rest on his shoulders. The defense is, although they've gotten turnovers, been a little bit of a mess. Like, they just bleed yards. So we're going to give up points, so we're going to have to score.
Yep.
And I think ultimately this is a big time Caleb gut check. And, you know, I think when you look at the Bears and sort of what they've done, this game does, like, I hate that I'm even admitting this, but there is a little bit of it's the Packers, and it's been so bad against the Packers for so long. And yeah, we're at our peak right now. Unless we pull out a win in Green Bay, which I'm not expecting. I'm expecting a competitive game. I expect that we're going to get one of the two games. I don't think this will be the one. But I think that I do have a little bit of worry. I have a little bit of the deep down inside of me, like, is this going to go bad and then everything is going to shift? Maybe it's the Bears fan in me. But I do have, like I said, I have the lucky baby, you know, the lucky baby. She has not seen a Bears loss yet.
That's right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.